backgrounds for the logos, but it's so hard to like to set it up with the cameras and how small it is inside.
Yeah, bro.
I don't know if it'd be possible.
You're talking about like logo back here?
Yeah, you know how everyone always put like a little
mirror
or whatever.
It's that time
again. Yeah.
Will it stick
to
that?
You know, go to channel 4, the laptop up there. Thank you.
I missed the little mood lighting we had. I like when we had that.
The blue?
Yeah.
Okay, I need more of those.
I've been wanting to...
You know how we had them?
Apply what you learn and bless what you pray. It's one interpretation, man. It's saying what it say. Gavin is
tiempo. Entra al centro, aprende del maestro con talento. La Biblia es el centro, usando a Israel como instrumento. Waiting for a new school or as well. Something happens, we got like 3 years for we can move. Something happens, you know, in the spirit, the Lord makes some moves for us, and then bam!
Definitely gonna look to buy after this one.
Go for the home run. Tune
in, it's the power hour. Don't be so excited, all right? We gotta keep it a little temperate for the show, okay?
Alright, thumbs up. Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus. I am Deacon Yahshua.
Officer Zara.
Officer Shia.
Officer Tobias.
Alright, we back in the booth.
Sure.
Rocking the blue.
Damn.
That's right.
Bro, I really like this blue, bro. It pops so nice against the background and everything like that. Hey, I'm loving all the shows that finally ordered their shirts and stuff, man, right? It's just such a nice...
Yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to get it a little more polished. Hey, let's do the polos, man. Everybody just wants to rock t-shirts.
Right.
Yeah.
And trust me, I'm a t-shirt and shorts and jeans kind of dude normally. Like, I just like to rock t-shirts, just be comfortable. But, you know, come on.
We all look good, man.
Oh, so yeah, some people don't look good in a t-shirt, bro. The body shape ain't right. You know what I'm saying? Like it looked like it's just a curtain over their body, you know. Burn the Fat brothers, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You know, I know we talk about Burn the Fat, man, but some brothers need to build a little muscle too. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like some brothers is just like the wind will blow and just take them away. Like I mentioned, any officers here in Phoenix that's always playing games in the gym and the diet.
Man,
just always playing games.
Yeah. I'm just saying,
2 years wasted that could have been super games if you just put some discipline into it, you know.
Man.
But my goodness, I tell you, man. But all praises, all praises. I love to see the unity, though. You got the IUIC on the sleeve and everything. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to see that.
Right.
Well, welcome back to the show. So this is kind of a part two, or rather a continuation to last week's show. They came before Columbus.
That's right.
We've established that the Israelites discovered what's known as the Americas
right. In
last week's episode. And we're going to continue on with that. We have lots of information. We got some video. We'll see how far we get. Somebody put in the comments, hey, man, leadership, y'all never get to finish. But it's all right. We keep coming back.
That's right. All praises.
We never get to finish. We keep coming back. So all praises for that. I'm glad it's edifying. Hey, this seems to be one of the more popular topics we've done in a while. People been, like, I was looking at the view count. And
Yeah.
I think we have, like, over 6,000 views.
Damn.
Yeah, there was like 1,000 something on the Phoenix side of it. So, you know, people were interested in the topic quite a bit. So all praise to the Most High for that. So we're going to, you know, we're still going to talk a little bit about how they discovered, because we kind of left off with a little bit of that. And then we'll move on to some detail about the Israelite civilizations of the Americas. And I didn't bring the physical books today, but all praises through the miracle of modern technology. We have pictures of it that I'll read off of, that we'll read off. I like to have the book in front of me. So, like, even though you'll be reading off the screen and stuff, like, right. I don't know. Like, I just like to...
You got the physical copy.
Yeah. Plus, I don't know. Like, people see the books and they're like, ooh. Mm-hmm. But, man, I had them things on my desk all week. I'm getting ready for to come to the show. I'm like, don't forget the books. Don't forget. Like, maybe you should put the books in the car now. Don't forget the books. Don't forget the books. And then I saw the time, and I said, oh, man, I got to leave.
And I said, forgot.
And I forgot the damn book. And I didn't realize till I was, like, all the way over here. Like, I got off the exit. I said, oh, man, I forgot the books. You know? I said, oh, well. But all praises, all praises. Hey, real quick, I don't know, you know, y'all missing out if you haven't subscribed to the IUIC Phoenix YouTube page.
Right.
You know, we know that after the Detroit Declaration that the dragon is wroth,
the heathen rage,
and the heathen have raged, and the people have imagined a vain thing. And there was a lot of hate and rhetoric because, get me that, and they, great fear came upon them when they stood upon their feet. We got to get that because this is what was seen when they saw us in Detroit. And that was just a fraction of who we are as a nation. I'm not even going to say organization. Who we are as a nation,
yes.
As a organized nation.
Because,
you know, that's where organization comes from, right? You put the two words together, organized and nation.
Hey,
right?
Go back to the camera. We didn't say put it up yet, brothers. Come on.
Bro, he's amped. He's amped.
I know.
Is that Soldier David?
No, Michael.
Oh, it's Mike. Michael's amped.
Put the cameras
on. He liked the smoke that came out on this red guy.
And the lower
see, that's red. I don't know. Some people looking, they see us all like I don't really look particularly red. I'm yellowish.
Oh gosh.
If you look at my skin, there's like a yellow hue to it. All
right.
I'm high yellow.
We got our first Wakanda of the day. We'll see you, Lion of Judah. Shalom.
Oh gosh, what the hell is he talking about?
We're talking about Ethiopia, talking about, I don't know about y'all, but I don't think y'all Latinos are Israelites. Y'all are, y'all, I think y'all white.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for your, hey, you know what?
Hey, that's the people
you've
imagining a vain thing.
Like, come on, you've been crushing, what are we going over now? Like,
right.
Yo.
Ridiculous. People imagine a vain thing.
Hey, I was looking over the comments last week on Savage and removing dumb comments and everything. Thank y'all for your comments. Thank you for your views. It pushes further our videos, our YouTube channel. Thank you, haters. We love you. Keep doing your work.
Hey, right. They don't realize that a click's a click. Well, you know what I'm saying? Like a click's a click. You wanna contribute to the algorithm, then by all means, go right ahead.
Right.
A click's a click. Even if you come in to bring hate, it's still publicity. Didn't they say that in show business? There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Right. All publicity.
Right? All publicity is good.
Thank you, haters.
So we'll take it. Anyway, so you had this powerful demonstration of the Detroit Declaration that some people were like, well, what are they? They're not out there giving out food. They're not out there because that's the way they program you. Things that have no effect, right? Things that are give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day, right? Because that's what you do. And it looks nice, and it pulls on heartstrings when you go out and give out food and things in the community. But it says, teach a man to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime. We're trying to give them living waters. We're trying to give them heavy meat. Mm. And what they see, because our people, what I notice with these marches, and I've said this before, the understanding has even changed the way the spirit has guided the leadership bringing this out. There was a time, I remember, we're like, we're not going to march. We're not going to do this stuff years back. And then the spirit changed, and the Most High revealed it through our leadership, right, through Bishop Nathaniel said, hey, we're going to do a march.
Really?
And, yes, we used to say no marching. We used to say no marching. It was classes. We say we're not going to march because what does that get you?
You're right.
But here's the difference in us marching and what it does, because one of the comments that people out there, some are making, is that, well, what does that do? That doesn't show anything. First of all, just look at the reaction of the people in the neighborhood.
Right.
You have to understand something, and I think I've said this before in various forums. Our people, deep down, the way the Most High made us, even though on the surface, because the Negro, Hispanic, you know, spick mentality that we have, all right, teaches us to be rebellious and stiff-necked and all this other stuff, our people, deep down in our souls, love order. It's just not according to knowledge. Because then why do we join gangs? I'll put it at its basis level. Gangs have hierarchies.
Right.
They have order. They have structure.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
it's an evil, right? But they have it. Why do people join fraternities? Because they're looking for order. They're looking for structure. Why do they join these different clubs, right? They're looking for something like that. Our people look for order deep down in their souls. God created us in that way. But we don't do it according to knowledge. We go into order. This is why we love sports teams and things so much. Right. Damn, I miss my days when I used to play ball. Why? What did you like? I like the camaraderie. I like the discipline we had. So when people see our people unified, it lights something up inside their soul deep down. And it's emotional, and you see that. Those aren't fake reactions. We had Israelites that were not even with us that were cheering us on in the streets over there.
On the sideline, yep. Right.
And here's ultimately what it does. This is the part where I said, give a man a fish, which is the appearance soup kitchens and all this other stuff that Christianity and apologetics would like to push out there and say this is meaningful stuff. No, the meaningful stuff is that when people see that, when they see a people that's not desired, when they see a people that's been robbed and spoiled and hated and is a proverb and a byword in all nations where the Lord has led us, be able to come together in that measure and level of order. Over a mile long we were.
Mm-hmm. Over a mile.
And when they see that, not only does it spark the emotion in them, the next thing invariably is going to be, how? Who are these people? And how did they get this stiff-necked, rebellious people to be in order to this degree?
And not fighting.
Not fighting, no marching in unison, sending a statement.
You got black folk all on the same page. Mm-hmm. How is that? Blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, how do you get everybody on the same page?
Right.
We don't see that.
It's impossible in our minds.
Right.
But this is why that lights them up. Read this.
The book of Revelation, chapter 11 and verse 11. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them.
Because that's what's on display when we march.
Yes.
That's the difference between us marching and anybody else that used to do marches. Remember, they marched so that the government could change laws to help them. They were trying to get Esau to help them jive with the things that they wanted. And listen, that was of the Lord too. And to some extent, it put freedoms in place for us to be able to do what we do today. So it's not to take anything away from that, but there's a difference in the symbolism and the spirituality of us marching and what it does. We're displaying, because how? Because the spirit of life from God has entered into his people in these last days. And that's how we can get there. And that's who we are, God's army. Come on, read that from the top again.
And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them.
That's why you see us powerful and bold marching down them streets. Come on.
And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them.
And great fear. Fear upon the heathen who have raged and continue to rage, like we're going to point out in a second.
Right.
And fear upon the people who imagine vain things. Because now it's damn. This is crazy. This is, how do you see stuff like that? Things like what we did have not been seen since the days of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
And don't tell me no Million Man March where they were all there. Get me Zephaniah 2:1.
Yes.
Don't tell me no Million Man March where you had various religions, you had various sexualities, you had sinful behavior behind all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing to gather together. There's another thing to gather together the way God has said. Go ahead, read that.
The book of Zephaniah, chapter 2 and verse 1. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired.
That's why it's such a spectacle. That's why great fear has fallen upon them when they see that thing. And it incites all types of feelings that even some of them don't know how to process it. It takes them to a primal place, back to the way the Most High made them. And it's like, damn. Do I really hate these people? Yes, you do. On the surface, you may talk, and you're talking head saying, no, I'm about unity. I'm about this for all races and things like that. Mm-mm. That burning sensation that you felt, you heathen, that burning sensation that you felt deep down inside when you saw the sons of God marching in unity and in order, that's your natural nature taking hold of you again. You're remembering your first nature and your first kind, the way the Most High made you, as a man of war that would rule by the sword. And that deep hatred from your progenitor, Esau, who the world erroneously calls the white man, all right? That deep nature and that hatred that you have for Jacob, that perpetual hatred and that murderous spirit comes upon you.
Right.
Comes back to you. and you don't even know how to process it sometimes. You don't even know how to deal with it, except the only way you know how. And then eventually you strike out and you lash out.
Right.
Read that again.
The book of Zephaniah, chapter 2 and verse 1. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired.
That's us. That's talking about the blacks, the Hispanics, the Native Americans. We're the nation not desired. Come on.
Before the decree bring forth.
Right. Before the Most High sends Christ and all his angels back. Come on.
Before the day passes the chaff.
Come on.
Before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you. Before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you.
All right, come on.
Seek ye the Lord.
There's the difference between all these other organizations in the past that have marched, that have put things forth. We teach to seek the Lord. And how do you seek him? Mm. Not just being hearers of his word, but doers of it as well. Christ said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to do what Christ said. And that's when we showed them who we are, because that's the first question. Who are these people?
Right.
Who are these brothers?
Where'd they come from?
Where'd they come from?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next question invariably is, how? Mm-hmm. How can I join you?
Right.
How can I find out more?
Mm-hmm.
How are you guys able to accomplish something like this? And the answer is, we seek out the Lord. Read.
Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth,
right,
which have wrought his judgment.
Mm.
Seek righteousness. Seek meekness.
Righteousness and seek meekness. And remember, meek is not weak.
Right.
That's right.
The meekness is the humility to acknowledge our offense. Like you read in Lamentations, consider and behold our reproach.
Mm-hmm.
Make supplication unto the Lord and realize and put upon you the spirit of humility to what the Most High God has brought upon us and what he requires of us to change. And that's the dialogue that opens with those marches.
Mm-hmm.
So it's lighting people up. There's rhetoric and propaganda, and it's coming on all fronts now, right? They said, let's open up the floods a little more.
Right.
And one of them is this clown ass.
You can put it up.
All right. This clown ass.
No class, Malone.
This is Haman. From the book of
this
Esther.
This is Haman.
This is Haman.
His new name is Haman.
Yes, it is.
Right.
I was meditating on that.
Right.
This is Haman.
His new name is Haman from the book of Esther. This clown ass, all right, apologetic. Hey, and we know it's apologist. Just like you know it's Israelites for us, but you want to continue to call us black Hebrew Israelites. So you ain't going to get no respect on that. None of us are ignorant. None of us. Double tongue. Because in one saying, as he's trying to inspire his followers, oh, they got ex-military, law enforcement, they have family men and career-minded men and this and that. You give us credence and then say we're ignorant because we say apologetics. That's on purpose, clown. That's on purpose. Anyway, so this apologetic, whose name is Mark John Reiser, trying to sound like something special, vocab Malone. I don't know. I guess maybe he used to rhyme back in the day. I don't know. He got shut down by the prophets of IUIC Phoenix.
That's right.
That's right.
That's why I say if you haven't subscribed to the IUIC Phoenix page, you gotta go send this out.
Missing out.
Because the scripture tells us how to deal with these heathen nations.
Right.
Because you got some even in our comment stream that's in there now. Of our people, and they're imagining vain things, and they're like, well, you should have shut him down and given him his answers. You know, you look weak, sharpen your sword. Listen, he listen, listen. Let me get Matthew 15, start at 22. We're also going to get Matthew 7 and 6, and then I want the one in Baruch.
I got you.
Yep. 3,
I got
all right?
Because
I'm going to show you that this is how you deal with these people, all right? This is how you deal with these people. This is how you deal with these heathen, treacherous, hateful,
ungodly,
unlearned, all right, unlearned according to the scriptures. Don't be trying to flash no degrees and what books you read. Unlearned, all right? Read this real quick. And y'all go check out the video. I'm not going to stay on this. We're going to jump into our history.
That's right.
We're going to bring out true understanding in the scriptures that they cannot, all right? That's the real reason. That's why they harp on the stuff that they
that's
have.
That's exactly what it
and,
is.
And that's part of the reason why, listen, this I've said this before. This is our book. It's for us. It's by us through the spirit of the Most High in Christ. And there ain't nobody that's going to teach us anything from our book
that's
and
right.
tell us that our book is not what it doesn't say what it says. All right? We're the authority. We're the ones that's on that, right? Go ahead, read this.
The book of St. Matthew, chapter 15 and verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out the same coast.
Meaning a woman from another nation, right? A woman from another nation. Hey, and there's a difference between people who are still learning and people who come to scoff, all right?
All right.
And you ain't going to tell me in all my years that I don't know the difference.
And we ain't
right?
condemning nobody.
Right. Nobody can condemn. We got no authority to condemn anybody.
We ain't condemning
only God can
no
condemn.
One.
We can judge.
Right.
Scripture calls us judges. There's a whole book on it. Right? That's what it called the rulers that rose up that was over the people.
Mm-hmm.
But we ain't condemning nobody. There's people who are there to scoff.
Yep.
When you make a comment as presuming as if you knew how to deal with somebody, that's not there because you're still learning. That's there because you think you got the answers, right? And what that really tells you is that they wish that they were the ones being approached so they could try to get a name for themselves and put on a show.
Right.
We got nothing to prove to the other nations
right.
except letting them continue to be fearful as they see us rise up. Read this. Go ahead. So it's a Canaanitish woman. Come on.
And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying.
So this woman, this heathen from another nation, cried unto Christ, saying what?
Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil.
Come on.
But he answered her not a word.
He ignored her. He ignored her. And as we read on, you're going to see why. Because she was from another nation. Right? Come on.
And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us.
He said, listen, he's not listening to Christ. So now she's going, and she's going down the line to anybody else. Talking, pleading for them. Even the disciples knew. You dismissed them. You dismissed them. That's the way you roll with these other nations. Come on.
But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
He is not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Meaning, he gave the disciples their answer. He said, I don't got to say nothing to her. She's not Israel. My attention is to Israel. And as you see in that video, the brothers paid attention, even though he was a treacherous coon that called his oppressor,
gosh,
thinking like he's going to run us off and scare us. All right. And so we kept dealing with the brother that was there, even if we were blasting him on his stuff. And there was many astute brothers that are still learning that realized that you gave him his answers, but they were still not enough because they're not really there for answers.
They're not.
They're there to try to drop a bomb that they think is a bomb, that they think is something heavy, and think that they can confound us.
Yeah.
See, but the difference is we live this. This is our profession.
Right.
This is what we do. The brothers that's out there teaching in the street, that's not vanity. There's passion and conviction and discipline behind what they do. Unlike you that play church.
Right.
You profess for it to be your life, mm-hmm. but it's not. Right? Go ahead.
But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Right. Now, someone will say, well, if you read on, he wound up doing her service. Why? Because she acknowledged that she was a dog. Go ahead. Keep reading.
Right.
Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs.
Right. He said, listen, and that's the part that I want there. It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He called her a dog. He said, you're a dog. Hey, for soldier for Yahawashi, yes, there's remnants in Africa that are Israelites. Remnants of the Ethiopians as well. Yes, a small portion are Israel. The issue is don't come up in here like the other brother did, or maybe you're that same brother that came and signed in. I don't know. I'm not going to make that presumption and try to claim that the Northern Kingdom is not the way the Bible has taught it, meaning the so-called Latinos and Hispanics and even some remnants in Africa. All right. There's Ephraim and some tribes. Manasseh still in Africa to this day. All right. The email is IUIC. Phoenix@israelunite.org. All right, if you're in the Phoenix area. Let me get Matthew 7 because he says it's not meat to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Why is it not meat?
Can you read the next verse?
Oh, you want to read it? Go ahead.
Yeah.
The book of St. Matthew.
I forgot about that part, right.
Chapter 16, verse 27.
This is why he helped her. Come on.
And she said, truth, Lord.
She said, yes, Lord, I am a dog.
She said, truth, Lord.
He said, yes, Lord, I am a dog.
She didn't say, well, John 3:16.
Right.
She didn't say, well, God so loved the world.
Right. She said, truth, Lord.
She didn't say, thou shalt not abhor an Edomite.
She said, truth, Lord.
Right.
She said, truth, Lord.
I am a dog. I am a low-down, dirty dog. Come on, Reed.
Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table.
Read on. We'll finish it up.
And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour.
Right. And somebody, a Christian will say, well, see, she had, even after all that, they'll still try to contend.
Right.
But why did he say great is her faith? Yeah, because she believed what these heathen won't believe in these last days.
What our people won't believe.
What our people won't believe.
Like that dude that I was, that, and one more thing to add to what you said, that scoffer, that sellout.
Say his name. Say his name.
Mike William.
Right.
I wasn't going to give him the day.
Say his name.
Mike William, the sellout that called Mark Reiser.
No, and then lied about it.
Yes.
Right.
And then on camera.
Yes.
And then jumps in the car with the dude afterwards.
Ended up leaving with him.
Right.
This damn sellout, I after we were dealing with him, I didn't know him till I saw, like, this guy's a scoffer. All right. So he didn't have answers. So I said, all right, what we the difference between them and us, we have solutions. Why did we go into slavery? We have images. Why did this happen? Oh, we'll see, because, and that's where they don't have answers
for the
people.
There's no answers there. There's no answers
there.
That's
the difference between y'all and us.
Mm-hmm.
We've been taught we have answers. Why did we go into slavery? For disobedience of God's law.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all want to run it to be like, well, it's because this and that. No, God's laws that discipline us, that changes our lives, we wouldn't have the issues we have today if we kept God's laws.
Read 15 and 26 again before we go to Matthew 7 and 6.
The book of St. Matthew, chapter 15 and verse 26. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs.
Right. It says it's not meet, meaning it's not good. It's not appropriate to take the children's bread, the children of Israel, and cast it to dogs, meaning to other nations.
Yeah.
Let's get Matthew 7 and 6 so we can expound upon that. So because there was a few comments in the video where they're saying, oh, he didn't get shut down. I see the opposite. No. The scriptures were applied. He got shut down.
Yeah.
We handle him like Christ handled the other nations. Come on, Matthew 7 and 6.
The book of St. Matthew, chapter 7 and verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs.
Right. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. What's holy? The law is holy and good and spiritual. Come on.
Neither cast ye your pearls before swine.
You ever heard a saying in the world that calls pearls of wisdom? It says, don't give your understanding, and when we Baruch's going to expound upon that some more when we bring that out next, all right, to the dogs. Come on.
They trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you.
Because they're not there to learn. They're going to trample the knowledge that you just brought out under their feet and then turn again to rend you, sometimes physically and sometimes with the pathetic. You know, he looked like such a pathetic little man.
God.
Just shouting out. Right, do you notice the video?
Wow.
He looked like such a pathetic boy.
Wow.
And
trying
what
to get attention. Hey,
what type of life do you have that this coon called
stop
you?
Stop what you're doing.
Stop what you're doing
and come
to come over to and where were you? Where was your power? Where was your bombs? Where was all your knowledge?
Right.
Nothing. Right. Nothing. Let's get that in Baruch. Come on.
Oh, I got you. Baruch chapter 4 verse 3. Give not thine honor to another, nor the things that are profitable unto thee to a strange nation.
What is our honor? When you read Psalms 147, 19 and 20, what does it say? That the law was only given to Jacob, that the law and the judgments, no other nations have known them. And it says, praise ye the Lord for that. Selah. Read that from the top again in Baruch. Come on.
Baruch chapter 4, verse 3. Give not thine honor to another, nor the things that are profitable unto thee to a strange nation.
Why? Because the laws are not for the other nations. The laws are profitable unto us. It's our honor that we can know. You read that in Luke where it says, many have desired to know these things,
right,
kings and rulers of the earth.
Right.
But your eyes are blessed and your ears are blessed because you're the ones that see and hear them, and they don't.
Let me read the next verse.
Come on.
O Israel, happy are we, for the things that are pleasing to God are made known unto us.
It's made known to us, the Israelites. So we don't take what's honor to us, what's blessing to us, what's profitable unto us, and cast it to the swine and to the dogs, because the scripture commands us not to. So hell yeah, he got shut down.
Right.
If you want to see the clip, it's not that long. Go over to IUIC Phoenix YouTube page, all right?
Make sure you subscribe.
Subscribe, like, comment on that thing, all right? All praises to the Most High for that. You brothers, hey, and I even thought of when they called me up and they said, hey, this dude's on site. I thought about hopping over there. All right. I said, damn, man. I looked up the address to see how far I was. Right. It said like 45 minutes. I said, he don't deserve. No. I said, that's when I thought of these scriptures. Nah. And I said, he don't deserve my presence. I said, let me get the hell out of there. Nah. I said, it's not worth the drive.
He's not.
I said, I'm not going to drive an hour and a half round trip.
Right, right.
So you brothers handled that thing with discipline.
You brothers handled that thing with poise
and with knowledge. Mm. All praises to the Most High. That's
handled
the blueprint.
Perfectly.
That's the blueprint. That's how we handle that stuff. Right?
He's, like you said, he was like a little boy out there, bro. Just like, man. Look at me. Hey, attention.
And you got to understand something. They're always going to claim a victory regardless. And I got to say this again for the record. They claim that when they went to the IUIC Detroit school, that we had class in session, and then that because they came, we shut it down. First of all, the sign was up on the door when they got there.
People
that said we were closed.
Inside the church.
Yeah, they were remiss, and they didn't say it was for COVID. There was nobody inside, but they did come up so that you could make a fool of yourself on film.
Right.
And they professed what they did to be a victory.
Right.
You got to understand something. That's another reason you don't engage with them, because they're going to trample it underfoot.
Right.
No matter what you put out there, they're going to claim that they won. That's like a fighter in a fight. And they'll be like, so did the better man win? Nah, the judges was messed up.
Hey, Deacon, you remember with Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he was turned into the authorities, he wasn't even answering them. They said, if you be the Son of God, deliver thyself.
Right.
They were making comments trying to think that they overcame Christ when Christ allowed these things to happen.
Yep.
Is that ignorance?
Damn.
Yep.
Damn.
Exactly. Anyway, that's enough of that. Let's jump into our topic. We already spent 30 minutes on that. But we had to. We had to bring that out. I was getting
like
getting
and subscribe,
hyped.
IUIC Phoenix. Yes, sir.
Like and subscribe, IUIC Phoenix, all right? Hey, and listen, anybody who wants to come here in sincerity and you got sincere questions, you can ask your questions, all right? The Most High will sort you out. The Most High will sort you out.
That's
all
right.
I think a lot of people, they want to come in to scoff, and they don't even, like, they haven't even done their homework on who we are and what they think they did, and they'll come in with color.
Right.
And, like when do we teach color outside of showing Christ's complexion and the Israelites' complexion to establish a foundation standing of what we're dealing with?
That's it.
And we've gone over this on this show ad nauseum. You want to roll by color, there's a lot of people who have white daddies that ain't Israel.
Right.
And they could be as black as this background that we got here. All right? Mm-hmm. It goes by who your father is and who you identify with the curses, right? Hey, like the brother that was there earlier, I don't know if he was scoffing, he came back in another handle. Isaiah 11:11 does say the scattered. It does say the scattered. And that's fine. But don't come in here trying to exclude who the Bible proves, bro, that's what we've been bringing out with these. There's more documented history, as we're going to continue to bring out tonight, that validates that the so-called Hispanics and Native Americans are Israel than what you could find for Southern Kingdom.
Right.
I was talking with Deacon Ithan, and he was saying that he found another book. We were talking about it. I think he had shown me some, I don't know, did he show me pages? I think he showed me a picture of some pages. And normally you find a lot of books that will identify Hispanics and Native Americans as Israelites. Mm-hmm. But there was another one that spoke about basically the I think it was Jamaicans and African Americans, and it says that they were Israelites.
Damn.
And it's not a new book. It's an old book.
Because
someone will say, well, if it's a new book, it's somebody that's been studying and then they bring it out.
Right.
No, this is like an old find. And I said, wow, it's rare that you see a lot of the Northern Kingdom stuff,
yes,
but you don't see them a lot saying that when it comes to Southern Kingdom.
Right.
So he had found some books on that. I think he's going to be bringing that out at some point on his shows or whatever. So, hey, all praise the soldier for Yahweh Shai. Like I said, if you come and you're trying to learn and there's some sincerity there in that, then all praises. But, we're going to deal with our platform accordingly. So all praises for your humility in that. And, you stay tuned in and continue to learn. If you want to email one of the schools and you can get more information. And, a lot of times we forget to say this. IsraelUnite.org, there's a wealth of knowledge on the website that you can go to. We have our IUIC classrooms page, not just classroom 2. So many classes. I mean, there's such a catalog of information out there that really wasn't there when I was there either. Like I said, I always often talk about I still got my MP3s. Mm-hmm. All right. I got a list of MP3s, of audios, of Bishop Nathaniel was another elder at the time that was with him, who's no longer with us in IUIC. And I had a few sets of DVDs over there on certain topics and stuff like that. And that's all we had. We didn't have this. We didn't have these chats, these live things that you go into. So all praise to the Most High for knowledge increasing in the earth in these last days. All right. So I need to read the last parts of the Atkinson's casket, yeah. The old book. He said he called the old book. All right, so no, show the picture of the book.
the old book. Hey, there's something.
No, I know it's such a dramatic effect, right? It looks like something that you find in like some secret library or something like that, right?
Of the old book. Hey, someone said gas gas price is too high to waste on a heated. That's true, bro.
Hey, that's right. You're right about that.
I'm trying to drive,
and my thing got to take premium gas too, so I can't. Hey, I heard he was tight because he's. Saw one of the officers' trucks. He got a nice truck. Got a pretty nice truck, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it's the most pimped out truck, but it's a nice truck. Right. And he was like, "I thought you were in captivity. Look at your truck. Look at what I'm driving." He told the officer. He said, "Look at my minivan, and you're driving a truck." Thou hast spoken truth and revealed thyself, envious ass.
Right.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh my goodness. Damn. All right. So we read from this last week. The show was pretty primarily based on this excerpt from this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go out and try to grab the whole thing. You probably won't find it. If you do, they're going to charge a lot. I had to get the facsimile reprinted. This is how I was able to get this. That's how I explained it. I don't want to say it was cheap, but it wasn't that expensive. Maybe $70 I paid for it, which is kind of expensive for a book.
Right.
But I thought it was worthwhile
because
it shows how the Israelites discovered America, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, the Bible's that primary thing, but I like the points that we were able to make with that and correlated to approximation of timelines and different things like that, right? So in this book, all right, we read through some pages that shows how Solomon, during his reign, had vast navies. He knew about this side of the earth, you know, because they mentioned the Olmecs, and that's what the conquistadors eventually wound up calling us, and historically we were known as. But the reason they say that the Olmecs were here before is because of the visits that the expeditions, so to speak. Right, right. The year and a half, 3 years. Those were some heavy points with the timeline. So let's go to the last page, the bottom. Yep, right down there, right? Like I said, I didn't read more into it. We could have went on to some more stuff. Scroll up a little. I wanted to go a little higher because we're going to go into some other stuff. Okay, yeah, as America became, that's what we want.
As America?
You guys all right? I was thinking about it last week. You need glasses?
I mean, I was really trying to squint to catch that.
Yeah, because you're not a bad reader, so I think you were, like, struggling with the typing.
I was.
Right?
I think it's the way the words are, because you see how bold.
Yeah, and the print is blurred up. Well, it's old. It's facsimile from an old book. So.
Right, right. All right,
okay.
Yeah.
Good. I don't know if I was just wondering if you need glasses.
I just had a laugh. That's funny.
Might have to get it checked out.
Yeah.
As America became settled by a civilized people and the industry.
Notice they called us a civilized people. Remember, I underline that because historically they say we were savages
right.
Indian, I think, means something like savage or something
slave,
like that.
Or something
like slave
that,
or something along those lines. So it says it was settled by a civilized people. And if you look at our history as Israelites, it talks about how especially when we were in rulership, we had aqueducts, which they credit to Rome, but it was us.
Right.
We had reservoirs, which they credit to Rome, but it was us
mm-hmm.
that invented those things, right? And that's biblical. You read that in the Chronicles, I think, or is it in Kings, where it talks about the aqueducts.
Dang, I haven't remembered.
Oh, it doesn't call it a reservoir. Reservoir in KJV. It is... Nope.
Second Chronicles 32.
You found it?
Yep. 4-8.
How you found it?
Google.
Oh, okay. Get that real quick.
The book of Second Chronicles, chapter 32 and verse 4.
Right. So it is Chronicles. So let me show you. I mean, I can never presume that some things didn't come out. Second Chronicles what? Let me get there with you.
The book of Second Chronicles, chapter 32 and verse 4.
All right. Second Chronicles 32 verse 4. Shows you this predates Rome and the Greeks, and this is something that they give credit to the Greeks, right? 32 and 4?
Well, that's...
I don't think that's it. Hold on.
You said 4 through 6, right?
4
no,
through 8.
No, that's not it. That's not it. Hold on. What does that say? Read it. Maybe it'll give you something, but that's not it. Hold on.
run through the midst of the land. Read verse 4. Watch this.
Yeah, the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 32 and verse 4. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land.
No, but this one is heavier. I think it talks about one of the kings. Don't be quiet. Come on, talk. What is it?
32 and 30. See, we're almost there. All praise to Most High, brothers and sisters. So y'all can see, man. Like I said last week, if you watch the radio shot last week,
Second Kings 20:20. You said that might be it. So maybe it is Kings. I thought it was Kings. Hold on. Maybe it's not Chronicles. Kings and Chronicles are basically the same, just slightly different, like kind of like the Gospels.
Right.
Second Kings 20 and yes. So Second Kings 20. And
Conduit
20. All right. Second Kings 20 and 20. All praise to the Most High. Because this one gives it, it hits it right. Like the other ones, it's a little vague. All right. So Second Kings 20 and 20. All right. Read that real quick. Again, going back to what we read here, it talks about we were settled by civilized people and they call that we were savages. They found these things, and Lord's where we get to read the books tonight. They found things like this, the Europeans, the conquistadors, when they came here amongst our people, all right? They found things like this. And if supposedly we were savages that came from the Bering Strait, where did this knowledge come from? Same way that you found the temples and the pyramids here, the writings and the inscriptions.
Right.
It's the Israelites. It's the same thing, right? Come on, Kings.
The book of 2 Kings, chapter 20 and verse 20.
Come on.
And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city.
Right. So it says a pool, which is a reservoir,
right.
A pool and a conduit. The conduit. All right, is the aqueducts. You read, they tell you, I think it was the Greeks or the, I think they say the Romans came up with the aqueducts.
Yes.
And they were able to build it because they came up with the arch and its stability. And because you read about the arch and architecture and the strength that it bears because of its design. They took that from us. They stole that from us. And you read this here in 2 Kings, and there's so much more that we've done as a people that's not even written. Read that again, 2 Kings 20 and 20.
The book of 2 Kings, chapter 20 and verse 20. And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah?
That's the scriptures that you guys were pulling in Chronicles, right? So in Kings, he's saying you can go to Chronicles and read a little bit more about the water and the conduit and the reservoir that he brought in. But they don't, and there's so much more that was done by our people. Just like the, how is it glazed over that Solomon had a navy?
Right.
You know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How are these things glazed over historically? Because history is written by our oppressors. And in their inadequacy, they want to feel like there's something. So they took everything from us. And that's been their MO. So they run with that and they say that thing. So when it says that we were a civilized people, when we get to the books, you're going to see this was on every level.
Right.
It said that we taught them how to bathe.
I was thinking the same thing.
We taught them how to bathe. How to change your drawers.
Damn. Even
that they're still going back to that old way.
No, we still ain't got no sound effects for things. This should have been a bomb with the aqueducts and all that stuff.
I got you.
Can you bring the thing in here? You could do the Kevin Samuels. Remember, he was talking to the chick on the Clip Vision show. He went into his whole thing.
I got you.
Damn, we gotta bring some excitement.
Yo, Michael. Michael's the first time taking it. You know,
it's a lot. I know he's in there. He's in there like Homer Simpson, and when he's in front of his thing, in front of the nuclear plant,
all these buttons.
Right, he's like, I don't want to push the wrong one. You're doing a good job so far, soldier. You're doing a great job so far. All right. So let's go back to the book, Atkinson's Casket. Come on.
As America,
how to stop picking the lice out their butt and eating it, right? Not just pick it out their butt; they would eat it. Come on.
As America became settled by a civilized people and the industry of the enlightened, divested land of the rough productions of nature.
Look at that. We glazed over that last week because it was towards the end of the show. I'm probably tired from all the reading and all the knowledge that was coming out. And it says, in the industry, we're going to read that when we read American Holocaust, and the industry of the enlightened, deviated lands of the rough productions of nature, meaning we were able to take the natural resources of the terrain that they would have found unmanageable,
right,
incapable of working if not for us. This is why they enslaved us instead, because their desire would have been just to outright kill us. But they said, no, we need their knowledge, their industrious understanding of how to work this land and farm this fruit and build these things so that we can go and bring these things back to Europe, and then we can have them to build our empire here.
Boom.
Right?
All right.
You did that with enthusiasm. I'll give you that.
Boom.
Read it from the top again. Come on.
As America became settled by a civilized people and the industry of the enlightened deviated lands of the rough production of nature.
No, I think it says divested. That's what makes more sense in that sentence.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Divested lands of
The rough
of the rough productions of nature. Resources remain. Numerous remains of antiquity were discovered in almost every section of our country, which had been improved.
Numerous remains of antiquity were discovered in almost every section of our country, which had been improved. When he says our country, he's talking about America, because remember, this was written in 1835. So he's saying that basically the thing was paved and laid out for them when they got here.
Mm-hmm.
And through their study of, because they like to do a diligent search and everything, they realized how great we were. But they couldn't bring that out. Because remember, they were, the message in the earth, especially as they came to conquer here, was that it had to be divine. It had to be that they were better than us in order to justify and get the buy-in of the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. That what they were doing was actually civilizing us. And the reality is they were stealing our civilization. Big difference, all right? Come on, read on.
Indeed, there is no part of our land but bears evident mark of having been once settled and improved by an enlightened, enterprising, and scientific people.
They called us scientific even.
Damn.
And they try to tell you that we were very rudimentary, that we didn't know the worth of the things we had, that we were that we sold Manhattan for some beaded necklaces. Mm. Are you out of your damn mind? The history accounts, and the Bible's history accounts, that we had knowledge and understanding of all things. During Solomon's time, they were bringing this precious gold from these different parts of the world that was different than anything else that they had mined anywhere else. Rubies and pearls and exotic animals and things like that. Mm-hmm. Different agriculture. History class teaches you that, it was sugar, and Europe didn't have sugar, and they got hooked on sugar. Man, the lies, bro, the lies. Come on, read.
That they were very numerous. The extent and magnitude of their work sufficiently demonstrates.
You read that in American Holocaust, and it talks about that they estimate it was probably close to half a billion was the population on this side of the earth.
Damn.
And that they brought that down to damn near 100. Now, the scripture says we're at the sands of the sea, and we were able to multiply, but what are we going to see?
I have the video. I have a Joe Rogan clip. That goes into South America and touching the two points about scientific, how we were able to take the land that wasn't, it's hard to bring fruits and crops, and we still did it. And then also that, how one conquistador went from one side of the island in South America.
How long is the clip?
It's a couple minutes. It's
no, a couple minutes is fine. It's not like 10 minutes, right?
Yes, it's like 12. But we don't know. We don't have to watch the whole thing.
Do you have good parts? What we got to try to do better at is like highlight parts where we could jump and stuff like that.
Give me
some of these.
Yes, sir. I think I did.
If you bring that out. All right, so wait.
Yes, sir.
Are we ready to go on it? Or you have the marks?
From beginning to 312.
All right, but hold on. Let me go back to the book. Make sure before we read that, we might want to finish this paragraph because it all ties in. All right? So it says scientific people, come on, that they were
a very numerous. The extent and magnitude of their work sufficiently demonstrate.
Right, which is through iconoclasm, all the things they destroyed, right? Come on.
These remains of antiquity consist in walls, tombs, mounds of an enormous size, posts, chimneys, stone, axes, hatches, arrows, and numerous engraving on rocks.
Right, because sometimes you'll hear that there wasn't really no temples in what's known as the United States. There was no pyramids and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not true either. They say they were great mounds, but they went to great lengths to destroy these things because as this history was coming out, they had to realize that they were oppressing the children of Israel and what that meant. So they had to go ahead and say, listen, we got to destroy all this. We can't let them. Again, something deep inside of them that the Most High programmed in them for his curses and his will. Remember, the scripture, Most High says that they're his ministers, right? You read that in Romans. It says they're his ministers to do destruction unto us,
right,
for those that do evil. And this, again, this will probably be, I probably have to do another part to this show because I wanted to go into how we went off when we got here. And I was going to bring out some stuff in Hosea
right.
in regards
we
to that.
But
something rose up inside of him. And I said, hey, you know what? We got to destroy this. We got to do this. We got to do that. And that was the Most High. Remember in Job, it talks about how he plants these things in their sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even know why.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like Mark Reiser said, I don't even know why I do this anymore.
Why are you here?
Right. I don't even know why I do this anymore. Because the Most High is using you
right.
for what purpose that he needs you for.
Right.
Right, not some super holy chosen divine purpose, right? But to just reveal that man of sin continually, that son of perdition. Come on.
These remains of antiquity consist in walls, tombs, mounds of an enormous size, posts, chimneys, stone axes, hatches, arrows, and numerous gravings on rocks, etc.
Earthenware.
Earthenware has been discovered in some places, and likewise some very ancient coins.
Right, meaning if we had coin, right, it wasn't bartering. We had economics. We had
right,
currency.
Right.
The realization of currency. You watch those History Channel shows, and they'll credit that to the white man, too. Oh, they were the first ones to come up with this type of currency and do these type of things and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it says coin. Come on, knives.
Knives, axes, and hatchets of...
Curious
workmanship in iron and steel have been found in several mounds which have been opened.
Right, meaning so archaeologists found many, many things. And you know them. Not everything was destroyed. Some of this stuff is in some extended families
right.
collection and things
down.
Like that.
Right.
They pass this stuff down and, you know, it's conversation pieces when they get together and talk. Or they have their brandy and they, oh, what is this piece? So, I mean, you think that stuff in movies is just made up?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's reality.
Deegan, that's a part of that pride. Their pride. They got to keep it around.
Right.
It's the bragging rights.
Right.
And I got things to that, too.
Hey, that's like that clip in Black Panther where they're talking about that.
It's on display.
It's on display and
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
And he came back and he said, that don't belong to y'all. That's
yeah.
my people's, right?
Right?
And that's when Killmonger went to steal it, right?
Yes.
So, well, let me not say steal it. Look at that. See how subtle that shit is? He went to reclaim what was stolen.
Reclaim.
Right. Right. He went to reclaim what was stolen.
Yeah.
Right. Indiana Jones the Thief. I used to love me some Indiana. The movie's as good as hell.
Dun, 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 dun.
Except the Crystal Skull. That was kind of trash.
Dun, dun, dun.
Anyway, let's do the Joe Rogan clip. This last paragraph with Mexico, that's supposed to help us go into the book, The Aztecs, but we'll see if we get to that today. All
start
right?
from the beginning.
Because I want to deal with the artifacts, with the industry and things that they had, all right?
Yes, sir. Start from the beginning. We're going to go up to 4 minutes. Go ahead.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Some of the more fascinating pieces of evidence in South America have come out recently about these channels and pathways that they've found in the Amazon
yeah.
that could not have been created any other way but by humans
Absolutely.
Creating irrigation, humans creating...
That's 2 Kings 20 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They got there and the conduit and the pool. He said there's no way that was some natural occurrence. It was created. Oh, you got the definition for conduit. Yes, a channel for conveying water or fluid. In other words, an aqueduct. Look, similar word, duct.
Dang.
Right? Mm. Come on, man. Read. Okay, play it.
Grids, like a city grid.
Definitely. The Amazon is a colossal mystery, and it's one of the subjects that I explore in depth in America before.
Stop. Hold on a second. Hey, somebody take note. Someone said if we can do a topic. Let's write that down. Maybe we can have the research team, because that's what a lot of people in the Power Hour group, they're not on the show. They're there because they're supposed to be doing research. So let's put them to work. Let's put them to work. And maybe we can deal with the California Mexican gangs like he wrote here. So he wrote the Norteños,
yes,
Sureños. All right. And let's talk about that a little bit in a future show. All right. All praises. We appreciate the suggestion. We'll see if we can get to that at some point. All right.
Deacon, those gangs even came into Arizona because when we did the The community cleanup, the Sudanios were was the predominant gang.
Hey, we got some brothers in California that were, I don't know if they were part of these gangs, but they came out of that gang life. We got some brothers that are upstanding officers, good brothers in the body that they came out of some of those Mexican gangs.
So-called black and Hispanic brothers.
Black and Hispanic coming out of those California gangs.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And repenting.
Northern and Southern Kingdom.
Right. Come on, let's go back to Joe Rogan here.
First of all, to give some basic figures, the Amazon basin is huge. The Amazon basin is 7 million square kilometers in area. And within it, 5.5 million square kilometers remains almost entirely unstudied by archaeologists. And that's the 5.5 million square kilometers that is still covered by dense rainforests. And to put that into perspective, 5.5 million square kilometers is the size of the entire Indian subcontinent. So it's like saying,
stop. So you see how huge India is? He said out of the 7 million square kilometers that the Amazon is, 5.5 million of it is still unexplored, undiscovered.
Yes.
All types of stuff in there. Yeah. That's why you still have some native tribes in there. You still have some Incas in there, bro. Mm. Still some Incas in the Amazon, bro. Right? Come on.
We've done world archaeology, but we've just ignored India. You know? We've done world archaeology, but we've just ignored the Amazon. It's the same migrant, 5.5 million square kilometers. The view was, again, there was a dogma. There was a preconception. Human beings couldn't have flourished in the Amazon. It's not a resource-rich area. The soils are poor. It's a difficult area, challenging to get to, very far from the Bering Strait.
For them.
So the view was that humans hadn't entered the Amazon until about 1,000 years ago. And then gradually, little by little, that view has begun to change. And it's begun to change because of the tragic clearances of the Amazon, because the Amazon rainforest is literally being cut down and turned into soybean farms and cattle ranches. And in that cutting down process has emerged things that shouldn't be there at all. For example, evidence that large cities flourished in the Amazon, enormous cities, which were larger. There was a Spanish explorer who went down the Amazon River system in 1541 to 1542. He was the first European to cross the entire length of South America from west to east along the Amazon. He reported seeing incredible cities, advanced arts and crafts, millions
of
people.
And when we start reading the pages of American Holocaust, you're going to see that, all right?
That's us being scientists, what
That's
we read
us
in
being
the
being civilized, industrious,
right. Yes,
with the rough terrain, the rough what was the word he used? Go back. Divested terrains. He said we were civilized, industrious, scientific people. Right? Go ahead. Hey, someone said, I don't know who this, write that down. That we should check this historical datatician. Maybe there's some good info there. Linda Ross said, Kurimeo Ahau.
I got you.
All right, write that down. Just whenever we get little nuggets like that, the research team can look into that stuff. All right?
Supposedly research team.
So, hey, we're gonna get it together.
The manpower's there. The manpower's there.
Yes, we are. All praise to Mosai. Okay. Go ahead.
A thriving culture. And 100 years later, when other Europeans got into the Amazon, they couldn't find these cities. So they said, Francisco Orellana, that was his name, made it all up. It was just a fantasy. And then in the last decade, as the clearances of the Amazon have proceeded, we've begun to see the traces of those cities. What happened was that the Spaniards brought smallpox into the Amazon. Smallpox devastated the local population because there was no immunity to it. There was a massive die-off. The cities were deserted.
And that was by the hand of the Most High. You read that in Deuteronomy 28 with the different sicknesses and things that would come upon us, right? So, come on, that's prophecy.
Within 50 years, they were completely overgrown by the jungle, and that's why they were not seen by the explorers who came in 100 years later. But now the jungle's being cleared, those cities are emerging. And we can say that a city like London, which had a population of roughly 50,000 in the 16th
century.
Stop.
Get me the article about the Mayan slave ship.
Okay.
All right. He says now that they're clearing things, they're starting to find stuff because they continue to rape the land of resources. So things that have been long buried, the Most High has allowed to be revealed. So. Let me get Deuteronomy 28:68. So.
Oh, no, not so.
But only black people.
Not so.
All right. Well, yeah, that too. So,
you Hispanics are not, you're too light.
Right.
You guys are Moab. You guys are Mongoloids. Mm. Come on, man. Get out of here. So. Deuteronomy 28 and 68.
Bring it out.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 68. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships.
Right. You read that in Exodus 20 and 4 or 3?
20 and 2.
20 and 2. Get that for me real quick. Egypt. Because this is not talking about Egypt, the physical place, and we got precepts to prove that. But let's read what Egypt means according to the Bible. Come on.
The book of Exodus, chapter 20 and verse 2. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.
Egypt means house of bondage, according to the scriptures. Now, Deuteronomy 28, 68 again.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 68. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships. By the way whereof I spake unto thee.
With ships. We will go into captivity with ships. Oh, but you guys didn't go into captivity with ships. You guys were over here, right? Come on.
Thou shalt see it no more again.
Meaning we would not see physical Egypt again. We would not see physical Egypt again. Get me that in Exodus 14 and 13, and then I want Deuteronomy 17 and 16. Come on.
The book of Exodus, chapter 16 and verse 14. And when the dew that lay...
No, Exodus 14, 13.
14 and 13.
And then Deuteronomy 17, 16.
The book of Exodus, chapter 14 and verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever.
So when it says thou shalt... More again, he's letting you know I'm not talking about the physical Egypt. It was prophesied that we would not see physical Egypt again.
Damn.
Because there's an apologetic doctrine out there that they have to go to some obscured, uncanonical book. Funny, they say when we bring out the Apocrypha, it's not canon, but then they want to go to some third Maccabees with some vague, obscure scripture
right.
to try to say that we went back into Egypt physically with ships.
Mm.
Mm-mm-mm. We did, as Northern Kingdom, try to go back into Egypt and seek help for them historically,
yes.
All right, as a world power, but not in bondage. This is how you know it's dealing with bondage. Let me get Deuteronomy 17, 16. Let's reinforce this point some more. Come on.
Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 16. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt.
Nor cause the people to return to Egypt. That's all I wanted on that. We don't need the rest of that verse.
The last part.
Go ahead. Read it.
To return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way.
We will not return back to physical Egypt that way. Take that in your pipe and smoke it.
There might be another way
right. that you will go into a house of bondage. Go back to Deuteronomy 28:68.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, in verse 6. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again.
Come on.
And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies.
In this place that's a house of bondage, you will be sold unto your enemies. Come on.
For bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy.
And no man shall save us, because they most certainly bought us. So now, let's pull up this article. Because despite the history talking about how the conquistadors not only enslaved us on this side of the world, but then grabbed us and sent us to Spain, to different parts of Portugal and Europe as curios to be their oddity, because they wanted to dress us in their European attire. They thought it was cute.
Right.
Kind of like when you take a little dog and put a T-shirt on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. You're like, oh, look at you, a little sweater.
Yep.
A little cat with some. Earmuffs.
You see, when Esau tries to adopt Jake, they try to put him in dresses. They try to put him on, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's a little toy.
This article. This was five days ago. The first slave ship ever discovered to carry Mayan slaves. Now archaeology is backing it up.
Mm.
Who are the Mayas?
Ooh.
Central America. That's Zebulon.
Damn.
That's right. Zebulon. That's the Maya. Come on. Scroll. Read.
The La Union was a paddle-wheeled streamer that was used to transport enslaved Mayans from Mexico to Cuba.
Enslaved Mayans from Mexico to Cuba. Remember, we read the scripture last week that Issachar and Zebulon would be in each other's tents, all right? So Central America up to certain parts of what's now modern Mexico was Maya territory, right? And then you had Aztecs for the rest of the way up in what's now known as Mexico, right? Come on.
The La Union was owned by a Spanish company that traded
white people
between Havana, Cuba, and Mexico in the 1850s. It was officially documented that the ship carried passengers and legal merchandise such as tanned hide.
So we were not wiped away. As recent as the 1850s, we were being carried around, okay? We were being carried around in the late 1800s in captivity. At that point, who else was in captivity? Get me the scripture where it says Judah and Israel were oppressed together. It don't just mean that we went through the same oppression. It means we were oppressed at the same time. Deacon Ithan, speaking of our hidden history, shout out to that show. Somebody said it's on. It definitely is on another level. Deacon Ithan has a spiritual gift with that. And his research team, they're incredible. Did you hear that, Power Hour research team?
I got it.
Deacon Ithan's research team is incredible, he said. All right? He gave them all the props. He said, it's my research team. He said, they're beasts. So you can find out who those brothers are, Power Hour research team, and find out how they find stuff, what their best practices are.
Trading the talent.
So we can bring some good stuff out.
I'm
right?
just saying.
So as recently as the 1850s, they had slave ships still for Northern Kingdom, right? Come on.
You want the Jeremiah?
Jeremiah 50.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 50 and verse 33. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together.
Meaning not just that we had the same oppression at the same time. Back to my point about Deacon Ithan. There was years back, I don't know, he probably have to dig through something to find it. He had found, I don't know if it was an article or excerpts from a book. I got to ask him for it because it's good to have on hand for us. And it spoke about how Gad was in the same fields as Judah during the 1800s. They were in the same fields. Just Gad would be more willing to run away because they knew the land. They knew the terrain. So they didn't have as many, but they were oppressed. Some of them were oppressed together.
Well, on the movie, is it Goodbye, Uncle Tom? Where like they show different signs.
Yes.
And then so that Jewish doctor, he says, look at the Indians. He said, now those are hard to keep.
Yes.
Yeah. He's mentioned.
Yes. He says that they're hard to keep because they knew the terrain.
Yeah.
So they were able to navigate it. There was no fear of them running and getting into some wilderness. They understood how to survive off the land.
And they were fast as roes. You're not catching them.
Right. Finish that verse.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 50 and verse 33. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together. And all that took them captives held them fast. They refused to let them go.
All right, let's go back to the article, the La Union.
The La Union was owned by a Spanish company that traded between Havana, Cuba, and Mexico in the 1850s. It was officially documented that the ship carried passengers and legal merchandise such as tan hides. However, the ship had a darker secret. In 1860, the ship was caught carrying Mayans who were taken to be enslaved in sugarcane and coffee plantations. The enslaved Mayans included children as young as 7.
No regard for the aged or the young, right? Come on.
Slavery had already been abolished in Mexico in 1829, and the Mexican president had also banned the forcible enslavement of indigenous people like the Mayans. Thus, the transportation of the Mayans on board the La Union was illegal.
Right. It goes to show you that any abolition efforts, whatever, that thing didn't mean nothing. Right? Come on.
In September 1861, the La Union sank on the way to Cuba after a boiler exploded and a fire started. When the ship sank, dozens of casualties were confirmed. However, the confirmed deaths did not include the Mayan slaves who were confined to the cargo hold. The slaves were listed as cargo. To date, no one knows how many Mayan captives died.
Right, and this is one ship, right? This is one ship that they're saying, and this was a recent ship.
Right.
You read in the histories, it talks about that they would take them on ships. It says that they were able to navigate the passages between the Caribbean and Central South America because of the floating dead bodies of people who would die on the slave ship that they would toss overboard. That's how they knew they were on the right path. That's how they knew they were on the right path, right? Come on, finish that up.
It took 3 years before archaeologists determined that the steamer was indeed the La Union. The La Union is now known as the first ship ever discovered to carry enslaved Mayans.
Right. It's the first one ever discovered, meaning there was many more. That's why I said it was the first one discovered. Right. There was many more, all right? So now you read Deuteronomy 28:68. Hell yeah, that applies to us too. Right. We know that, but some people, the Bible's not enough for them.
Right.
They got to go off on some other tangent and things like that. Let's go back to the Joe Rogan clip. Come on.
No sound.
No sound. It's buffering.
Completely overgrown by the jungle, and that's why they were not seen by the explorers who came in 100 years later. But now the jungle's being cleared, those cities are emerging, and we can say that a city like London, which had a population of roughly 50,000 in the 16th century, there were cities of that size all over the Amazon.
Wow.
Huge numbers of them. And a possible total population of the Amazon that exceeded 20 million people.
What?
Yes, 20 million. This is the latest evidence from the Amazon. And then you ask yourself, how did they do that? How did they feed 20 million people in the Amazon? Because it's a fact. Rainforest soils are poor. It's one of the reasons these soybean farms are a really stupid idea, because once you clear the rainforest, the land is largely unfertile and you can't grow stuff on it for very long. So how did they feed all these people? The answer was they invented a soil. And that soil has a name.
Soil.
It's called Terra Preta. Archaeologists refer to it as Amazonian.
So you know how, like, they say you can't just plant things in any dirt.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be certain vitamins, minerals, and things to nourish it. When you speak about famine, they're saying that, remember, the scripture told us, like, every 7 years you have to let the land rest so it can replenish and things like that. But Esau don't do that. So what they're saying, another thing that's going to start causing famines, or at least partial famines in the future, remember, Bishop always brings out that it's like a woman in contraction. So meaning, you know, if life lasts, we're going to see worse things with this famine, but then there'll be a time where it'll be okay again. One of the ways that famine is also going to hit us is that the soil is not going to have the nutrients to support anymore. Like I was reading an article the other day, it was saying the topsoil. Now, that's not true. There's ways around that stuff, and, you know, the Most High made it a certain way. But look at them. So he says they invented soil.
Scientific?
They knew how to nourish the dirt.
Right.
And where do you think we got that from? Remember, the scripture says, hate not husbandry.
Right.
And I know now we bring that up to modern times because we're not agricultural now as a people. We're industrious, right? We're in the information age. But meaning our people understood farming. We understood agriculture, right? The Most High gave that and ingrained that into us.
To another level.
Like we knew about the different flowers and things like that. You read that in Ezra's, how he ate the... You think he just grabbed any flowers and ate them? He knew which flowers to eat that were going to be nourishing to him,
right.
All right? He's saying here that our people invented soil.
Right. He's going to go into it, but that's all I got on that.
Was that it? I thought you said there was other stuff he said that was good.
That's it. We touched the industrious, the scientific, the I want to go into the things that were in those tunnels and in those cities of the archaeology. Go back to the book real quick, please, if we can. So it says...
Yeah, people like videos, so I'm going to let you do the videos and say your piece on the videos. And like I said, Lord's will, next week we'll continue on. If we don't get to American Holocaust today, we just run it back. We'll read that paragraph again and go back.
Start again.
Read where it says knives, axes, above.
In the paragraph above.
Right there, knives, axes, and...
Knives, axes, and hatchets.
Did you post that clip in the group? I'd like to watch the whole clip.
You.
Yeah, post it in the group.
Oh, yeah, it's up there.
Okay.
Yep.
Knives, axes, and hatchets of curious workmanship in iron and steel have been found in several mounds which have been opened. According to...
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
According to the reports of the Spaniards who first invaded Mexico, the empire had been established in that place but between 3 and 4 centuries, and that the nation came from the east. This was the tradition and likewise the records of the Mexicans.
All right, so no, never mind. The knives, axes, they have been found in several mounds which have been opened. That's the part I want to deal with. Can I go into the videos?
Yeah, do it.
All right, so let's go into
the videos. I was waiting for you. I'm excited to watch these videos.
Let's go into the videos. Give me the Father Crespi. Let's start with the first one.
Oh, hey, shout out to Ramaya. I'm looking at the comments. He said, hello, MP3. You remember those MP3s, Ramaya? Brother Ramaya.
That one. Let's start at from the beginning, and we're going to go up to 309. Now, this guy, go ahead, just play. It's gonna explain itself. Go ahead.
And I keep forgetting the name. Dr. Reynal, he spoke about Father Crespi, too.
Did he?
I think in relation to the stones. Yep. Come on.
Yeah. All praise.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
1891 in Italy, Father Carlos Crespi Croce was a Salesian monk who spent his career in Cuenca, Ecuador from 1923 to 1982. At the University of Milan, he studied anthropology before becoming a priest. His many talents included being an educator, anthropologist, botanist, artist, explorer, cinematographer, humanitarian, as well as a musician. The kindness and benevolence he taught his congregation was such that they rewarded him with a number of ancient artifacts.
Stop. So now, this is where it gets heavy. So we were going into last week how we came on this side of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he went as a priest to Ecuador. People loved him. You can see the little boys with him, what have you. And they were rewarding him with ancient artifacts. I want to show these ancient artifacts.
I'm trying to remember the interview. I think the stones that he got, I know it was something like some stones that he passed down, right? Like, is he the one that he had these stones?
No.
Maybe it doesn't show in this video.
This is Ecuador. The one that he passed down, that's in Puerto Rico. That was another father, too, passed it down to some old lady.
I got it confused.
Or some old lady.
But there was some association with Father Crespi, though.
Yeah.
Oh. Because they were comparing some of the stuff he had with what they found in Puerto Rico.
Well, the ones in Puerto Rico, it was an older indigenous woman. And then call one of the fathers.
Right.
Give it to him. Look, I know of these stones. So,
right.
Go ahead.
Listen, Jew is short for Judah. So when you're being technical, the only Jews is Judah, the tribe of Judah.
Right.
All right. That's if you're being technical. But colloquially, Jews tends to imply all the Israelites. All right. So it's. People are putting stuff in the feed there. The Jews is only Judah, Benjamin, and Levi.
Mm-hmm.
No, Benjamin and Levi are Benjamin and Levi.
Right.
The Jews mean Judah, all right? But technically, when saying the Jews, it's often taken as you're referring to all Israel. But when you want to get technical, sorry, colloquially, when you want to get technical, it means Judah, all right? Jew is short for Judah, okay? Anyway, go ahead.
Lengthy career. Father Crespi was given and or purchased over 50,000 ancient artifacts. The items in particular that captured the fascination of the world were a number of plates and objects forged from gold with mysterious symbols and hieroglyphs.
Mm-hmm.
The villagers told Father Crespi that many of the artifacts were found inside a cave known as the Teos Cave.
Stop. The indigenous were giving him gifts every single day. Hit play and then stop at that book. I have this book, and I read the good section. The other section is not good. There's tunnels in South America that the indigenous in that area where this guy lived, that would stretch out for miles from Ecuador to Peru, hundreds of thousands of miles, and just ancient artifacts everywhere. And go ahead. So they were giving him these artifacts. Watch this. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
70s, Eric von Daniken published The Gold of the Gods, in which he highlighted many of Father Crespi's artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
Von Daniken made the claim that the collection included metal books showing proof that a lost civilization existed in ancient times.
Stop. Look at the pyramids. Look at pyramids here. Ecuador. That's in Ecuador.
That's in Ecuador.
They have pyramids.
And the thing that I hate about this is that they put more emphasis.
He said, I got it. I figured it out.
Just turn up the USB,
Mike. I got it. I figured it out.
And what I hate about is that they put more emphasis on this guy, Esau, Father Crespi, than the indigenous people that knew about these artifacts.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right. Well, the history is written by the oppressor.
Go ahead.
Extraterrestrials helped the form. Many people fed into the belief that these artifacts were either extraterrestrial or were out of place, with bizarre, unknown scripts similar to Babylonian or Sumerian writings.
Stop. All right. So go back a little on that. I want that image clear. Notice can you make it
place.
Clear the image? Stop. Okay. That's fringes on the bottom of the garment.
Right.
Remember, that's an engraving, not a drawing. So you're not really going to be able, but look at the little lines that's on there, right? That's fringes on the garment. And no, he's not naked with a loincloth.
Right.
That's probably some royal attire that they had.
Remove the disclaimer so they can see what Deacon's going over.
Right.
That?
Oh, they can't. Oh, because they're seeing a disclaimer. They can't see the bottom.
Right.
All right.
He got a chain on.
He got a chain on, everything. The headdress, look at the.
He looking.
Right. So you see that? Boy. See the fringes down there, right? It's not in color, but I would imagine there's a border of blue. All right, go ahead.
put the disclaimer back on as well. Go ahead.
With bizarre, unknown scripts similar to Babylonian or Sumerian writing.
Stop. So it said bizarre scripts similar to Babylonian and what do you say?
Sumerian.
Sumerian. Okay, go ahead.
With the Vatican's permission, Father Crespi opened a museum at the Salesian School at Cuenca. In July 1962, a fire broke out and the museum was destroyed. Father Crespi
was able to salvage
as much as possible.
Stop. So, yes. So he opened up a museum with all these ancient artifacts. He had a museum, meaning thousands of artifacts. Thousands of artifacts. And then he was only able to save a handful or a small percent, which is still a lot what he saved. And I'm going to show you what he saved. Go ahead.
And stored them in two long, narrow rooms. Items from Father Crespi's collection included tablets, plates, doors, decorations, statues, pottery, jewelry, ancient weapons, and more adornments. There were even three gold sarcophagus-like coffins. The artifacts were made of stone, wood, ceramic, and metal. The metals were pure gold, sheet gold,
pure silver, sheet gold,
bronze, brass.
Stop right there. All these were pure gold. But, hey, I don't know if you can zoom in on that a little bit. Look, his hair looked wavy, curly.
His nose?
He got a wide nose.
Right.
I'm just saying, there's certain characteristics. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because when you look at the Olmec heads, right, they got the wide nose, too, and stuff. Like, I'm not trying to be insulting. It's just, you know, characteristics of our people.
No, you can't.
Yeah. But look at that.
Wow.
No, and so it's pure gold.
Right, see, somebody said that looks like a brother. Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Come on.
Hey, pure gold that the indigenous of Ecuador had. Pure gold metal sheets.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's no coincidence, though, too. Like, after he got with the Vatican to get permission, that the fire caught.
Later, the fire.
He's trying to save what they're trying to destroy.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Go ahead.
For zinc, tin, and sheet metal. When Father Crespi passed away in 1982, what happened next only added to the mystery. His collection was removed. Investigators later discovered it was purchased by the Central Bank of Ecuador and is currently stored in their museum vaults. However, none of the golden plates were shown to investigators, so it is assumed they are lost. Others believe that either the Vatican has them, the local government, or another rumor is that they were melted down and used for military funds. All that remains is the photographic evidence. Some people believe that the collection...
Where is that from? Where is that from?
It looks like Babylon, right?
Yeah. That's from Babylon, bro.
Yeah.
Now, go to the other video, because let's hear it out of his mouth. Go to the other video, and then give me Ezra chapter 1.
In the Bible?
In the Bible, chapter 1. And we read this last week, and I have this book, Gold of the Gods, by Eric Von something. Very good book, all right? But what I got out of it is this scripture right here. Go ahead.
Ezra 1 and what?
What is that? What's the one that says, read verse 3? What does verse 3 say?
The book of Ezra, chapter 1 and verse 3. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him.
Mm-hmm.
Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord, God of Israel. He is the God,
go ahead,
which is in Jerusalem.
Verse 4 is the point. Come on.
And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth,
So read that again.
And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth.
So whosoever remaineth. This time, King of Persia, Cyrus, was giving us liberty to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild. And he said, go, those that are Judah, Benjamin, Levi, they went back and built and said, and whosoever among you that remaineth, northern kingdom remained. They later went and took the council, 2 Ezra 13, and came to this side of the earth. It says, and whosoever remaineth, go ahead.
And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth,
mm-hmm.
let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold. And with goods.
Help them with silver, with gold, and with goods. Where did the indigenous of Ecuador get all these ancient artifacts? From the other side of the world? From this kingdom right here, from Persia. We had gold. We had silver. We had things that, hey, here, go sell this. Go melt it. And we took a lot of it to this side of the earth. Read that again.
The book of Ezra, chapter 1 and verse 4. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, mm-hmm. let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem.
Go ahead. Verse 5.
Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites with all them whose spirit God had raised.
With all them, that's northern kingdom whose spirit God had raised, like Tobit, stayed back. A lot of northern kingdoms stayed back to rebuild the temple of the Lord. Now, let's go to this video, and let's start from the beginning. We're going to go to 110, but the key point is at 130. Go ahead.
High up in the Andes Mountains, in the town of Cuenca, Stanley Hall is searching out an old Catholic priest called Padre Crespi. Over 40 years, the old priest has gathered together a backyard museum in his office church. Maurice has done Stanley Hall bit of a set and special pieces to look at for you, like in all the best treasure trails. A golden plot. Part of the message from the gods, with strange symbols on it, and a model of a dome carved in stone.
Now this is quite remarkable because it looks...
It's an entire oro puro!
Stop. He said this is pure gold, oro puro. Go ahead.
Hey, I want to bring a point out. Yes, he said it's pure gold. There was a comment where they said a lot of this stuff is probably somewhere. It's not disappeared. Get me – hold on. I just had it here. Get Isaiah 60 and
– dang, I know where you're going.
5, and then we're going to read 11. But before you read that, just get that ready. I want Obadiah 1 and 11.
Obadiah 2. Beautiful, beautiful book.
So that's biblical. Whoever made that comment, something about that this stuff got to be somewhere. I think it was Silverback Judah. Someone somewhere has all this. Yes, all the Gentiles have this stuff, and I'll show you biblically where it comes from. So get Obadiah 1 and 11.
The book of Obadiah, verse 11. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces.
Right. So the forces that it's talking about here is all our gold, all our wealth, all the different things that we had. And this happened throughout different time periods. They were always taking our stuff, right? Finish that verse.
And foreigners entered into his gates.
Right, and foreigners entered into our gates.
And cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them.
Right, now go to Isaiah 60 and get what I told you.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 60. Anyone in verse 5?
5, and then we'll jump to 11. I'm just trying to get to the points.
Verse 5. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee.
The abundance of the sea is all our riches, all the things that we've collected over the years, right, that were taken from us. Come on.
Forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee.
They're going to bring it back. Read verse 11. Come on.
Verse 11. Therefore, thy gates shall be open continually.
In the kingdom, they will be paying tribute with everything they robbed from us. Come on.
They shall not be shut day nor night.
Because they're going to have to keep bringing that stuff in. Remember, they would shut the gates at night because they would come and try to get us to buy and sell, right? It says the gates are going to have to stay open because they're going to continually bring in what they stole from us. Come on.
That men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought.
Right. Their forces was what they stole from us and everything that they built on our backs. Mm. So some of those things that... all of those things are going to come back to us, and some of those things that they built just by our labor as well in the kingdom, they're going to bring back unto us, all right?
That's
I just want to bring that point out. All right, go ahead.
So he says, pure gold. This is pure gold that this old man, Father Crespi, had in his possession, given to him by the indigenous of Ecuador. Go ahead.
Right, stop. So what's the significance of them saying it's Babylonian?
Yes.
That means we were in a Babylonian captivity.
Where? How did this Babylonian artifact end up in Ecuador?
Yes, right. It don't mean that Babylonians came over here.
No.
No, remember, that goes back to what we read in Atkins's casket. Solomon and the people
yes.
that, this navies that he sent over, the stuff that we had that we brought back over, right?
Yes.
Come on.
How did Babylonian artifacts end up
mm-hmm.
in South America? This is an ancient Babylon. You know that's ancient. He said, this is pure gold. And why did the Vatican somehow his museum started burning up? Because then now it's like, well, okay, who gave him the gold? Okay, the indigenous. How did they get artifacts from Babylon? Because, go ahead.
Stop.
He's holding it in his hand. This ancient artifact, it's not fake. It's not plastic. He said it's pure gold. How did the indigenous get a hold of this? From ancient Babylon. When we went back into, when we got liberty from our captivity, they would always send us back with gold, with riches, with things to build upon, and a lot of things we kept, like this ancient artifact. One more. So you can exit out of that. Go to 1 minute and 30. I don't know what I had there. I got notes here on key point 130. Oh, look at the face right there. Look at the face of that Babylonian.
Hmm.
That's a Babylonian artifact right there, bro. How did they get it? All right. Give me the article about this guy. There's a specific point that I want. Go to ancient. Yep. Now scroll down and then scroll down. The man behind the mystery. Go down.
Where the Northern Kingdom headers at in the comments now?
Right, right. Oh,
they can't stand against this stuff, bro. And then the scriptures to back it up. Come on.
Mm-mm. Now, okay, the man. So read the man behind the mystery, please.
The man behind the mystery, Father Carlos Crespi Croce, was a
Salesian
monk who was born in Italy in 1891. He studied anthropology at the University of Milan before becoming a priest. In 1923, he was assigned to the small Andean city of
Cuenca, Ecuador.
In Ecuador, to work among the indigenous people. It was here that he devoted 59 years of his life to charitable work until his death in 1982.
Key point, to work among the indigenous people.
Right.
Us, as the power hour, the Israelites, we're focusing on the indigenous people. Yes, did the Lord use this man to save those artifacts so we can be like, what? How did ancient artifacts from the Eastern Hemisphere end up in the Western Hemisphere?
Mm-hmm. So, as recently as the late 19, the early 1900s.
1982, bro. Mm-hmm.
Well, he died in 82,
well,
but
yeah.
1923 is when he went to Cuenca.
Right.
So,
but at that time, 1980, 1970, that's when all these archaeologists started going into, because they heard of it. And then that's when they started going. That book, it was like in the 60s or 70s where they went and we want to see this gold for ourselves. Go ahead.
It was here that he devoted 59 years of his life to charitable work until his death in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
Father Crespi is known for his multitude of talents.
Yep.
He was an educator, anthropologist, botanist, artist, explorer, cinematographer, and musician, as well as his intense humanitarian efforts in Ecuador, in which he set up an orphanage and educational facilities,
mm-hmm.
assisted the impoverished, gave food and money handouts, and cared deeply for the people. Walking around the city of Cuenca, it is clear that Crespi won the hearts of the people. Today, a state...
Go past that. We need to know about him being
yeah,
honored
yeah.
and stuff in there. Got to get to the point.
Good down.
I don't see nothing in that paragraph. It's just glorifying him.
Exactly.
Right. Most High used him to preserve some stuff and get some things out. That's it. He still eat him.
Okay. Let's go down. However,
however, it was not only the people of Cuenca that he helped, Father Crespi has also had a deep personal interest in the numerous tribes of indigenous
people.
Does
it say that he acknowledged that we were Israelites at all anywhere?
No.
That's probably why he was so interested in us, though.
Yes.
Like, it wouldn't be just because random, you know?
Right.
He was curious about that, yeah?
No, you know what? I can't find where it says. He doesn't say we're Israelites, but it says other go down the Crespi collection right there, because I want to emphasize that the people gave him these things because they glorify him, but they don't put emphasis that the people knew about this stuff. Go ahead.
The Crespi collection. It was due to the dedication of Father Crespi to the people that they began to bring him artifacts as offers of thanks.
They began to bring him artifacts as offer and thanks. This isn't just like here's a pot of clay here. This is gold. Sheet metal gold. Go ahead.
These artifacts came from all corners of the country and beyond and were representative of the works of almost all the indigenous cultures of Ecuador.
This is the part I wanted. It represents almost all indigenous cultures of Ecuador. The Babylonian said, you had the pyramid ones, but the Babylonian one, that one hit it for me. I was like, what the hell is this? All right, go ahead.
Other objects, including numerous metallic carved plates were throughout to be a modern carvings of replicas of ancient artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
Though Crespi always showed great gratitude no matter the value of the gift, not wanting to shame impoverished families by giving them money handouts for nothing. Crespi began to pay some of the people for the objects they brought him.
All right, that's it on that. But I just want to show that they knew about these tunnels. Our people in the 1800s, in the 1920s, they knew about these tunnels that ran for miles and miles from Ecuador to Peru. And they had all these ancient, to me, when I'm telling you, Bishop did this a long time ago. Like, it's an old, old class. He went over this guy here, and I was like, damn. Like, that Babylonian artifact.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you got to be able to have the gears turning.
Connect the dots.
How did this ancient Babylon artifact arrive to South America?
Mm-hmm.
How? So that's all I got on that, Deacon.
I thought we saw something else with some other stones and whatever. There were some other things in the feed.
What other?
I thought we had some other stuff in there. It wasn't just this, right?
You know what? Go back to the video. There was one video, too. He has another artifact. No, I'm sorry. Stay in this. Go down. I'm going to show another picture.
Phoenicians in America. Weren't you going to read that?
We
are sons of Canaan from Sidon.
Yes. Oh, that's right.
Zoom in on that image.
Zoom in on that image, the center one, next to the Babylonian one. Full screen that thing. Look at that. Look at the middle one. Where's that from? That's from Babylon as well. The one on the left, that's the head of King Nebuchadnezzar in South America. The middle one is one of the gods and this is actually in we see this when every time we talk about Christmas, we see this middle one. I think it goes into Egypt or Babylon because they worship the same thing.
Hey, there's one that Solomon posted. He said go to 4154, different Hebrew dialects confirmed in some of the Father Crespi collection.
Mm-hmm.
From Ecuador. There's one in there. I love that thing with the currents that you posted. I was thinking about that thing again. I said that thing is dope. As we were reading Atkins's casket.
Yeah.
So right, and then you had, and then Solomon. Okay, so I was confusing. And then Solomon has another one with the Paleo Hebrew script, which was on some of the stuff Father Crespi found.
4154,
all right, he says, right?
Yep.
We'll start a little before just so we could see and play this.
Oh, they're not showing it. All right, so read that script again for me, please, just so we don't have no debtor. Ezra 1 and 4. Was it 1 and 4?
Yeah.
Yes,
it was.
So understand, brothers and sisters, this is the answer right here. How did this ancient artifacts end up in South America? This Babylonian artifact from modern day Iraq, right? Thousands of years ago, and was found in the 1900s in South America in Ecuador. You guys just visited Ecuador.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
The book of Ezra, chapter 1 and verse 4.
Uh-huh.
And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods.
Help them with silver and with gold and with goods. We gave our brothers that went back to Jerusalem silver, gold, goods, beasts. But we also brought them over here to this side of the land. We brought ancient artifacts to have history of where we came from. Go ahead, if y'all ready. There's no sound.
Gold plate with hieroglyphic writing.
Right, and scroll it says up, here, scroll up a little bit. Scroll up, go back, scroll up. Go back, right there. All right. But remember that in your head. Remember this mark, 41:48, because when we pull up the picture that Solomon showed, that's Paleo-Hebrew writing that you see in there, in that gold plate that Crespi had. All right? Go ahead.
Writing. And it says here, a pre-Inca wall showing serpent portrayal.
Is that Solomon talking?
Because Richard Wingate, in Lost Outpost of Atlantis, offers evidence for the authenticity of the bulk of the Crespi collection. He writes, similar epigraphy in Father Crespi's collection was also labeled as clumsy Indian fraud until better trained scholars discovered some inscriptions were written in classically pure Egyptian hieratic, Libyan and Celt Iberian and Punic.
Stop. They always do this. It says, was also labeled as clumsy Indian fraud until better trained scholars discover some inscription. They always do this because in the next book I'm going to show, I think it's another one that I have. But they always do this where they find something and then they say, nah, that's not real. Nah, just put it away, store it away until someone else comes and then, oh, they flip it around. Oh,
right.
It's Hebrew.
Right.
Oh,
because they can't admit that it's Hebrew because it'll say so. So even if it was Egyptian, how the hell they had Egyptian hieroglyphs here?
Exactly.
Who had the knowledge to write those things,
yes.
Right? Come on, go ahead.
Again, Richard Wingate, right? He says that everybody thought it was fraud or that, you know, it could have been, it wasn't, you know, done by people.
And then he says 4456 is the bibliography. I don't know. Is anything good in the bibliography?
I didn't look at it.
Oh, it says it mentions the Hibaro tribe, which is Asher. Shuar or Hibaro is mentioned as the source of most of the artifacts. Get that in the bibliography, and then we'll go back to 4154 so you can look at that thing again. 4456.
Right there, that's fine. Look at that. Indeed. Stop. Go back. Look at that. Where's that from? Mm. Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
This is Father Crespi holding this in Ecuador.
This is stuff that was found in Ecuador. Exactly. Go ahead.
Beyond the metallurgical capacity of present-day Tayos Indians. And just for reference again, Eric Van Daniken, The Gold of the Gods, 1973. J. Golden Barton, The Lost Gold of Ancient Ecuador, Ancient American, Volume 4, Number 25, 1998. And Richard Wingate, Lost Output of Atlantis, 1980, Everest House Publishing Company, and
we passed it already? Keep going.
Wayne Hambly's Voices from the Dust, 1977, Osman Publishing Company.
He says there's one where it says something about Hibaro. No, keep going. Let's see if there's more.
Even in the forehead and everything. Come on. Where is the true old world?
He says that's where it started. Maybe they show more.
Yeah, no, but that's 46. Go back to 44. Go to 4450.
Maybe he gave us the wrong time stamps.
Maybe he did.
Damn.
Indians.
Damn, Solomon. How you gonna drop nuggets and then give us the wrong time stamps?
And just for reference again, Eric Van Daniken, The
right,
Gold of
it.
The
Keep
Gods,
going, no,
1973.
Go
Jake Golden Barton, The Lost Gold of Ancient.
No, nothing. All right, go back to 4154. And then...
On serpent.
Pull up the pictures that Solomon posted. So he posts some pictures of... There's one there with a stone, with Hebrew writing... and then there was another one where he had, he had those two. Okay, no, scroll down. You got it right there. So let's see. Can we open that? All right. Can you do a side-by-side with the YouTube video or no?
Yeah. Do a side-by-side. Exit, escape.
Side, don't be nervous. We know you're working the booth the first time. You're doing good. You've been doing great, actually.
Right there. And then go to YouTube. Where's the YouTube? There's not the YouTube.
Yeah, put it on the right.
Put it on the right. Put the image on the right.
Portrayal.
No, but it's the other image we need.
Escape it. YouTube,
right,
yeah.
There.
Okay. All right, get the go back a little though. It's the one before the serpents.
I know
we're giving you a lot of direction.
Drag the video more to the side of the.
Take your time,
screen.
But don't take too much time. All right, go back a little bit on the YouTube video. Go back to the little plate, 41:54.
A little bit more, 41. Before that.
There you go, right there. All right.
There you go.
Yeah, it was 41:49. I don't know what he was talking about. So look at the similarities in the writing, right, of the Paleo Hebrew,
right,
and what you see on that plate there, okay? And then they also have pictures of the Crespi collection that had inscriptions on it down below, and it had them similar markings, all right? Now, obviously, there would have been some variation as time went on and how things were written and whatnot, but it's basically the same. You'll see very similar symbols to the Hebrew writing, to the Paleo Hebrew, right? Into what you see in the artifact there and in the artifacts down here. And remember, Ecuador is Asher, all right? That's the tribe of Asher, all right, amongst the other ones that we've shown on the map. So you have different things there. And then there was one that he had a picture of like a stone. I don't know if it's a screenshot from the video.
It's a screenshot, yeah. It was a little...
Right there. And just open that one bigger.
That's
make
fine.
It larger.
Right there. Yeah. I've seen this one. It's just way too long. It's like 40-some minutes.
Right. So, again, you'll see that similar writing as to what we saw in the key or the legend. And, you know, like Shai was saying, they'll try to say, oh, it's BS Indian fraud writing. And then later they'll say, oh, no, it actually is legitimate scholarly, right? And a lot of them don't want to go on record and say it's Hebrew writing,
right,
because then that validates everything that the scripture speaks about.
That second character right there,
uh-huh,
is on that picture right here, on the first character right here.
What's it? Oh, okay. That's right. What is that script?
Put the no.
Put the other thing back. No.
That
leave
image?
That there, and then put the other one with all the inscriptions.
The Paleo Hebrew script.
Yeah, the Paleo Hebrew. I think you made the telegram large for that one.
No, so open up that Power Hour Plus folder, and then open up the Paleo Hebrew image.
Yeah, that's it. Uh huh.
And then put the other one side by next to it.
Put it side by side.
The one you just saved.
And then I want you to read the Phoenicians thing,
yeah,
and then the Las Lunas stones. So point out the one that you were saying, asleep, silent. Look,
yeah,
that's
the
same.
First one, yep.
You see the second symbol on the stone on the
right?
That's the Paleo Hebrew script for silence, all right? So there's some sort of sentence. Look, and then the first one is the one down one from silent and over one. It's K,
yeah,
right? Cap, K.
That's right.
All right?
There's like an X that's a twat. Twat.
Yeah.
Looks similar, maybe.
No, right. And then there's one that looks like a little TP. The point is that this is, that's a D. There's Hebrew writing. It's Paleo Hebrew writing on these artifacts that you find here in, this was particularly, I don't know if this, yes, this was Ecuador with Father Crespi. So dealing with the tribe of Asher and the Hebrew writings that were found there. And then you also have Las Lunas Decalogue stones, right? That's here in the mainland United States, and that's dealing with Gad, all right? Can we get that article that talks about the Las Lunas? It's in the Telegram feed also.
We saved it last week. Go to the Power Hour Plus. You didn't save it, I guess. No, go back. That's not it. Go to the Telegram feed. Go ahead.
You know what's funny, man? Like, there's people who, like, the internet's, like, free for
right
you
there.
To set up your own platform, right? Like, you could go and teach and do videos if you have so much understanding.
Like,
and then they
want
to jump in the comments on our shows.
Right.
And then try to teach the people.
Right.
Come on, man. Go do your thing, bro, if you got something that you want to bring out. So you have the Las Lunas Covenant Stone, all right? Let's make that a little bigger so Officer Tobias can read it.
The photograph at the bottom of the...
Now, I've read some things where they try to say that they disproved the Los Luna stones. But of course, because it's one of the actually most prominent ones that's out there, so of course they would try to say that they can debunk it, right? But go ahead.
The photograph at the bottom of this page shows the Ten Commandments written in the primary Paleo-Hebrew script written on a large stone found in the 1800s at Los Lunas, New Mexico.
So all throughout this side of the earth, just like we brought out in the history of Atkinson's casket, last week we spoke about Second Ezra's, all right, you find not only artifacts like you read in Ezra and how we were given basically reparations so that we can go where we wanted to go, but you find artifacts throughout, all throughout, and then the scriptures speak about that as well. So it says the Los Lunas Decalogue stone. They try to say later that it was BS, but of course they would, right? That's just
always,
that's just so Esau of them to do, right? Mm-hmm. So go ahead, read.
Los Lunas, New Mexico, near the Rio Grande. This article carving could be 3,000 years old, and it contains the name of Yahweh. It was written in obedience to Deuteronomy 6, as we are, write them on our doorposts and on our gates.
That's Deuteronomy 6, where it says, when you teach them to the children, teach it by the way, whatever, excuse me, and write it on their doorposts and all that. Go ahead.
This stone was at the entrance to an ancient colony or settlement of Israelites that had navigated up the Rio Grande. The style of the letter Yod used on the stone indicates that the Israelites of the northern 10 tribes, Samaritans,
also known as the Samaritans, like the woman by the well in John 4, right? Come on.
Were in North America. It could have been inscribed on this stone as early as the 9th century BCE during the reign of King Solomon.
Right, because why? Solomon came over here during his reign, like we brought out in the Atkinson's Catskill book. Come on.
Or as late as 146 BCE when the Carthaginians...
Because the Carthaginians were Israelites. Come on, Deacon Nathan goes into that heavy on our hidden history. Come on.
Israelites were conquered by Rome. Many diasporas occurred, but we now know that Israel was mostly a sea empire.
Israel was a sea empire. We were a sea empire. Come on.
And they were called Phoenicians. By the Greeks.
They were called Phoenician. That's why I was saying last week, this was the piece of information, that the Phoenicians was really us, all right? And we were called Phoenicians by the Greeks. So writing that they credit to Phoenicians, and they say it was Africans that did it, it was the Israelites. Come on.
With the ships, when we were talking about that
last
week.
Yes, yes, yes. Come on.
And they were called Phoenicians by the Greeks. Yes, the Phoenicians were Israelites. They didn't call themselves Phoenicians. Herodotus, 5th century BCE, called them that. The Israelites traveled the oceans of the world as they mined tin, copper, gold, and iron.
The gold, that's the precious gold of Ophir, come on.
Did you know that the distance from the western coast of Africa to South America is less than the width of the Mediterranean Sea?
And we went over this last week when we were showing the different currents, right? Yes. That's why they kept saying West Africa, but we were showing how historically Solomon went up that way, right? And he also had his navy stationed there.
Right.
So not only did he send the first voyage that took 3 years round trip, right? As was a journey of a year and a half, round trip would be 3 years.
Right.
But he also said after that he was able to send out navies that he had stationed around there to go over and do voyages over here. So when they say that the Olmecs were here and they say it was Africans, what they really mean is that they were Israelites here before. This goes back to what we brought out in Second Ezra last week, where it says, how did they know there was a place where never mankind dwelt? Historically, they understood what they meant. It don't mean that Solomon left people here for ages on end.
No.
It just means that he left expeditions here, multiple expeditions here, right, to deal with the resources and things here during his reign. Guess what happened? When his reign was over, that stopped.
Right.
That stopped.
They didn't have the knowledge and wisdom.
No,
like Solomon.
No. That it's not that it died with them, but that authority to do that died with them. Because why? What happened after that? We weren't one nation anymore. We were fighting amongst each other.
Yes.
So we were divided, and we went through horrible kings, a handful of good Judah kings, none good Northern Kingdom kings. And after that, we weren't – so what, and the Most High, that was all his design. That was all his setup in regards to that. Go ahead, read that.
Columbus didn't discover the Americas.
Right.
Israelites were already living here, and many became that many became what are now referred to as Native Americans.
Right, and then you see there, like, that's the Los Lunas Decalogue stone.
That's okay? Right, and our brothers and our sisters have gone to visit. Brothers in IURC, we've gone to visit that at the New Mexico Blitz.
Yeah,
brothers
yeah.
went to go. You were there, right?
Yes,
you went
we,
to go?
In, Officer Nehemiah. We
Officer
Nehemiah.
The, right.
Decalogue
now,
stone.
We didn't offer this. We just we put the watermark on it because people try to take stuff and
right.
do their own research.
Now,
and stuff like
give
that.
Me the book, Feats and the Wisdom
yes,
of the
Yes, yes, yes. That's a good one. Let's bring that out. Let's
and
bring
this
that
book
out.
I have as well, All Praise to
Most High. For all the scoffers in the chat today talking about Northern Kingdom, it's not the Latinos or the Native Americans, all right?
Where'd you save it? Where did you save it? You didn't save it?
It's right after the picture. It's early. It's from, like, today, the Feats and...
Yeah.
Yeah, he put there. We go. That's it. Note down. Yeah, you can put the picture of the book.
Yeah, put the picture of the book,
and then the excerpt is below his audios.
Yep. Now this book and brothers and sisters, I got this from a class, old class, where Captain Joel, Captain Jan, Officer Liam of New York, they went and taught at a college and was bringing out books left and right, and I was like, damn, I need to get this one.
I was like, hey, Michael's pretty fast. He over there holding it down.
No, bro, I think he's doing a great job.
Yeah.
All praise.
I think he's doing a great job.
Right there. So put that up. Feats and Wisdom of the Ancient. Now go to the image right there. Now this is page. I forgot what page this is. I got this from the that video, but I forgot the page of this. But read this for me.
Phoenicians in America.
Phoenicians. We just read that the Phoenicians are Israelites in America. Go ahead.
We are sons of Canaan from Sidon, begins the manuscript. It is written in a Phoenician language used some 500 years before the birth of Christ.
Right, so you have the scriptures there to understand why they're saying the sons of Canaan. Remember, the
right.
land that they went into, Joshua 19. Let's get that real quick because some people say, see, Africans. Let's get that real
right.
quick.
Joshua 19:24.
The book of Joshua, chapter 19 and verse 24. And the fifth Lot came out for the tribe of the children of Asher, according to their families. And their border was Helkath and Halai, and Bethem and Akshah.
Uh-huh.
And
Halai and Bethem and Akshah and Alamalek and Amad and Mishael and reacheth to Carmel westward and to Sheor Libaneth and turned toward the sunrise to Beth Dagon and reacheth to Zebulon and to the valley of Jephthah toward the north side of Bethelmech and Neo, and goeth out to Kabul on the left hand, and Hebron, and Rehob, and Hammon, and Cana, which is Canaan, even unto Great Zidon.
What it's
talking about is not Africans. It's
right.
talking about, they say, from Canaan, from Sidon, right? Cana
uh-huh.
and Zidon, meaning that this is dealing with Israelites, all right?
We are the sons of Canaan from Sidon.
Right.
Right. Come on.
500 years before the birth of Christ. In only 8 lines, it tells a story of a voyage around Africa, of a storm, human sacrifice, and salvation on the shores of what is now Brazil.
So this manuscript is in Brazil. Go ahead.
It was indeed left by a Phoenician sailor. The text
remember when we read in Atkinson's casket?
Yes.
This doesn't mean that this happened when they came over and Second Ezra's. This could have been here from when Solomon was sending. Because remember, he had Hiram and his fleets with him as well, right?
Yes. Go ahead.
It was indeed left by a Phoenician sailor. The text memorializes an ancient visit to the New World.
An ancient visit, meaning that this wasn't when the diaspora, when we got out of captivity. This was during the time of Solomon when he was exploring the earth with his fleets.
Come and it on. Says five a Phoenician language used some 500 years before the birth of Christ.
Right.
That's around the time of
letting you know it was a lot older, too.
Yes.
Right. Exactly.
Go ahead. Come on.
The text memorializes an ancient visit to the New World, long suspected by some scholars.
Meaning that scholars are into this. They understand that. They just don't want to acknowledge it. And, you know, just like the professor Reynal has said to us, he said, the problem is, he said, there are other scholars who would admit to this, being Hebrew and stuff writing. He says, but academia won't accept them. And in academia, he says they're very dogmatic, meaning it's when something's dogmatic, it's almost held to like religiously,
right.
so to speak. And what he said is basically they would be laughed to scorn. So a lot of them won't validate some of this information.
Where are we at? If not, the Pariba inscription, as it is called, is among history's more intriguing hoaxes.
Stop. It says the Pariba inscription. Paraíba is a state in Brazil. I just looked it up. In the northeast, located in Brazilian northeast, is bordered by Rio Grande Norte and to the north. So this is right on the coast. This is right on the shore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scripted. It's called among the history's most intriguing hoaxes. Jump down to the next. Its author, who was never found.
Described a stone tablet.
Right, which means this was Asher.
Yes.
Right, which means this was Asher.
Unearthed by workers on a plantation in Pariba, now called João Pessoa, at Brazil's easternmost tip. I can barely see the bottom.
No, that's it on the bottom. Now,
Then Cyrus Gordon, an American scholar of Semitic language, studied the text and declared it authentic.
After so many years, just like all the things we've been reading, they said, no, it's fake. Well, we want to see it. No, it's a hoax. And now, after so long, he said he declared it authentic. Jump down to the next highlighted.
Similarities between the inscription and ancient Hebrew, once considered evidence of deceit, had since been documented as normal among Phoenicians, a people who mixed readily with a number of other cultures.
So that's why we were scattered, but we also mixed the language.
Right,
the
Phoenician, and that makes
language.
Sense, because remember, we've been going into captivity since the time of Egypt.
Right.
Right. And so, and then we had a little time of rulership, and then more captivities after that.
Right.
So the Assyrians carried us away captive, so on and so forth, Persian Mede, Greeks, Romans, right? We were always in some measure of captivity. So basically, we wound up getting like a blend of stuff like that.
Yeah, right.
Hey, look up. I just put a link. There's one called Dighton Rock. I want to give just one more piece of evidence, and then we'll wrap for today. Still didn't get to the other books.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of information. It's a lot of information. And meanwhile, you got scoffers just trying to drop things, but they can't explain or validate anything that we got going on here.
Hey, the Mayans, though, going on slave ships, that was heavy.
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's the banger right there. All right. Let's read that real quick. Dighton Rock.
The Dighton Rock is a 40-ton boulder originally located in the riverbed of the Taunton River at Berkeley, Massachusetts, formerly part of the town of Dighton. The rock is noted for its petroglyphs, primarily lines, geometric shapes, and schematic drawings of people along with writing, both verified and not. Carved designs of ancient and uncertain origin and the controversy about their creators. In 1963,
That's all I wanted. Scroll down. So that's a picture of the rock there, right, when it was in the riverbed. You see inscriptions on it. Well, that's the map. It shows you approximately where it was in Massachusetts. So now we're back to Gad again. So we've jumped around to Asher. We jumped around to Zebulon, right? Issachar here and there was mentioned, I think, in the Atkins's casket. Now we're dealing with Gad. We had the Las Lunas stone, and now we also have them. Las Lunas was in New Mexico. Now you have this in Massachusetts. Scroll down. I just want the pictures. Keep going. All right, so that's a picture of the stone once it was on display in the museum. All right, and just enlarge that picture a little bit, and then we're not going to spend too much time on there. We're just going to go back. I think you can just click
open
it. Click it, and then zoom in if you click. All right, so they're saying because of the people. That's why I say some verified and not. Scroll down. So it's very faint now because they moved it conveniently. They messed it up. Scroll down. So they're saying that this was how it was when it was nice and bright. They say it was American Indian. Some of them say it resembled Phoenician, but we just read about Phoenician and how the cultures, it's a mix of Hebrew and different dialects, right? Scroll to the right. Some of them say it was Viking, right? And then some say Portuguese, right? Which all of that would make sense, right? Because of us and the different captivities and picking up languages and different elements of how things were written and stuff, right? Back out of that one, all right? And then back to the
They always do, and then in the Los Lunas Decalogue stone,
bro,
they always vandalize it because in Los Lunas Decalogue stone it was vandalized, right?
Like there was oil on it.
Oil too, but they start engraving. They start chipping.
Go to the bottom picture first. Right, exactly. Go to the bottom picture first. So that's how it was when they had it there. And that was like, they call it a mirror reverse picture. So it's flipped, right? So it really would be the other way. So like basically the right way to look at this would be right to left because of the way they took the photo. All right. And again, it might look vague. It might look like some childish drawings and things. And they're always going to try, like he said, they defame it. They defile it. Okay. Different things like that. But again, different letterings and dialects there. Go back. And then they have the drawing that supposedly is the inscription of it, right? And again, there you got all these different symbols that'll probably be like some variation of the Paleo Hebrew mixed with some Phoenician language, right? And you see the different things that were drawn on there. And, you know, some people look at this, oh, that looks like a childlike drawing or whatever. They want you to think that.
Right.
They want you to think that, all right?
A child wouldn't be able to engrave in that rock like that.
Right, right. Exactly.
That's a big-ass stone.
Right. It's a big-ass stone. So there's a lot. There's a lot of artifacts, and there's more, like we brought out in the scriptures, because of the forces that were taken, so on and so forth. Anyway, we're out of time for today. We're actually over a little time. Lord's will, we will continue on with this. We still have much more information to bring out, all right, about the history of the Israelites in the Americas, all right? So Lord's will, we'll bring that out. What did someone say? Just want you to know, I've been playing La Undécima Hora since you put Southern Kingdom on blast. Faith songs, Hora Nativa, and SOS. I don't know why that just came to my mind, but yeah, the album's all praises, Judah support, and 12 tribes worldwide. All praises to the Most High. Hey, I pray y'all got some edification off of this. What are we doing, English or Spanish?
English.
Yeah, okay, check us out on Saturday exclusively on Facebook at the Lost 144K. We have at 11 a.m. Arizona time the Power Hour, right? It's not the Plus Edition. You get 1 hour of power, from the officers, all right? Officer Zarai trying to get himself. Hey, no. He does all right. I don't know. I don't know if he's just intimidated because I'm talking or whatever it is.
No, I just be getting just caught into all that.
I know. I see his face here. Bro, it's like he keep you going because he's like, wow, with the stuff that's good. He doing the Soldier David. We got the picture. Damn, we should have asked Nathaniel for that picture. But remember, we were saying we weren't getting bombs last week? And Soldier David was there highlighting his Bible as we're bringing stuff out.
Well, he's supposed to be, he's supposed to be on the computer.
Taking notes.
Hey, I pray this information was edifying. And listen, man, the scoffers, even with all this coming out, they still not going to accept it. That's why some of them dogs, they are not all Israel that are Israel. It's not just talking about other nations, all right? That's why it says
rage.
The heathen rage and the people. Imagine a vain thing, all right? So I pray y'all got some understanding on this. Continue to support, like, share, subscribe. Comment also. I saw a sister earlier said she liked, but she didn't comment. Throw a comment up there. It helps with the algorithms as well. It pushes things out there so we get more understanding, all right? Y'all be safe. Y'all stay well. Most High Christ bless y'all. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
Outro. Outro.
Outro.
Just click the button outro. All right, just stop streaming then.
Wow, we didn't close with the song? Come on, man. After all that fire?
All right, just stop streaming so they don't hear us talking, bro. What the hell is this?
What the hell? It's all right. He did a good job. I'll let that one pass.
Just for today, though.
There's a lot of noise.
Sure is.
Damn. It's cool to see it, though, because, I mean, this is stuff that we don't go over, like, frequently.
No,
you know what I mean?
Right. So it's good that we
That's
bring
why,
this
like,
out.
That Mayan, the Mayan slave shit, that blew my mind.
Yeah. Now you a believer?
Yeah.
He's a little hippie. A little hippie before that, but now I'm good.
Solidified it.
Now I'm ready. I'm not moving to Atlanta.
Damn. Nah, I can't go.
I ain't moving to Atlanta. I want that
vocab
smoke.
Right. Too much gear, man. Can't do it. A lot of growth.
Would you mind bringing my water bottle?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Oh, this is okay.
Oh, my legs.
They don't want the smoke down. They don't want the smoke.
No, no.